I know that many of you know that I enjoy walking, and I know that many of you have seen me when I've been out walking from one place to another. But I may have said this before, one thing I don't particularly enjoy doing is walking uphill. And even before I even get to the hill, my body has kind of slowed down in its pace in readiness for the fact that I know I'm going to be out of puff before I get even partway up because I'm so unfit. Well, last April, Ian and I were in Vienna visiting our family who live out there. And I'd been so caught up with David's description of walking up through the vineyards, up the side, what I'm going to call is a mountain, up the side of this mountain and through the forest. And then at the top, there was a panoramic view over Vienna. And I was so caught up in this vision of what it was going to be like when I got to the top. I persuaded Ian, and it did take persuasion, because quite rightly, we were tired. We were physically tired. It was a really hot day, even at breakfast time, and we didn't know the path of the way up. But I persevered because I was so caught up with wanting to experience this vision of being able to look over Vienna City. And so we set off. To say that we were very glad of the forest to help us as we walked our way up the path in the shade would be an understatement. We were even more grateful for the picnic bench we sat on as we got to the top and enjoyed our lunch. Just as we were approaching the top of the mountain, we suddenly heard traffic, which was rather surprising because we'd been walking through the trees for maybe a couple of hours. And just as our path went round a corner, there we were by the side of a road. And lo and behold, just in front of us was a bus stop. As we began to kind of look at one another in amazement, lo and behold, along came a bus. It stopped at the bus stop and people got off it. And almost immediately I hit my phone and I said to David, why didn't you tell us? We could have caught a bus up this mountain. Because by now I was really aching, my muscles were screaming out, and I was definitely very unfit. And the response, not unsurprisingly and quite rightly, came back, but you said you'd wanted to walk. Well, we did indeed say we'd wanted to walk. I have to say that when we went out early this year, we did catch the bus up the mountain. But our reading today that Margot's read to us starts off by telling us that Jesus went ahead going up to Jerusalem. And we can see there Jesus making his way up the side of the mountain, so to speak, as he made his way up to Jerusalem. And I know many of you have visited the Holy Land and you yourselves will have trodden along the path. I understand that you start from the lowest point on earth at Jericho, and you make your way up through the Judean desert, and about halfway up you may pause for breath, and about now you're level, at sea level, you're about at sea level, and you know that you've still got quite a way to go. But you continue, and you make your way up to the summit. For Jesus, as he made his way up to Jerusalem, at this point in his life, he knew he was going towards the last few days of his life here on earth. He was approaching the end of his journey, the culmination, if you like, of why he was here on earth. And he knew full well that that end would bring pain and loneliness and agony. But he also knew that he needed to finish the job that his father had sent him to do. And maybe that's why at the beginning of this reading, we see he went on ahead, on up to Jerusalem. He didn't want to be distracted by the disciples who may have been wanting to talk about who was the greatest or arguing about where they were going to eat or where they were going to stay. But Jesus went ahead of them. He knew what lay ahead for us. We may already be planning what we will be doing when we're back able to gather in one place and worship God together. We may already be planning on meeting up with our family and our friends and physically hugging them or physically shaking their hands or talking to them without the internet and the screens that are holding us apart. We're looking forward to that moment when we can get back together, whenever that will be. But for Jesus, as he made his way to Jerusalem, he was going towards that place with a mixture of emotions within him. But the point is, he still went on. He still continued to make his way to Jerusalem. So Jesus firstly makes his way to Jerusalem, and secondly, in the reading that we can see, we read that the Lord needs it. In fact, we read those words twice in this passage, in verses 31 and 34. And the "it" in this passage refers to the colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus knew full well when he rode into Jerusalem, he was fulfilling the prophecies and the scriptures from all those years before. He knew, for example, he was fulfilling Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, as he rode in on that donkey, on that colt. He knew, as we joined with the crowd at the beginning of our service, that he was fulfilling the words such as from Psalm 118, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." He knew that people were excited and hopeful about what they thought was going to happen, what they thought he was going to do as their savior and as their Messiah. He thought that they thought he was going to bring them to victory and save them from their oppressors. And yes, he did all of that, but just not in the way that they were expecting. Our service for today and for Holy Week, the plans that we had even just a few weeks ago are so different to what we're going to be doing in the coming days. Our plans, our lives have been turned upside down because of coronavirus. For some of you, your lives have been completely changed. Your plans have been put on hold, or things have changed, and we are all in a different place, living with an unseen enemy, causing chaos and panic across our world. And we aren't here in one place waving our palm branches or praising God together, but we are still praising God. We are still worshiping. But those words, "the Lord needs it," really struck home as I looked at this passage. And I asked, well, God challenged me with this question, and I'm challenging each one of us. What does the Lord need from us today? He's not asking for the loan of a cult. He's asking for our lives. He's not asking for our possessions, but he's asking for our hearts, for our plans and our hopes, and yes, also our fears and our dreads and our pain and our heartache. But the thing that I was reminded of as I looked at this passage is that clearly Jesus had made arrangements to use the colt. That's why he instructed the disciples to say, "The Lord needs it." So that when the owner challenged them, they responded, "The Lord needs it." It was obviously an indication that Jesus had prepared the smallest detail in order to protect his disciples, in order for them not to be challenged by what was going on. So often, we give God the big things in our life, but we don't think he's interested in the small things. But here, as I read this passage, I was reminded, do you know, Jesus wants all of it. He wants the big things and our big worries and our big fears, but he also wants those small things, those things that we think he won't want to know about, those things that we even think we may have hidden. He wants it all. God cares for us. We are his children. He's given us the armor of God. He's given us all the things that we need to equip ourselves. And yet so often we're the ones that fail to protect ourselves, fail to put on that spiritual armor, fail to pick up our Bibles or spend time in prayer to God, or failing to worship God. And yet we've been equipped. God's provided us for the big times and for those small moments in our lives. Let's be encouraged to pick our time with God, to not leave him out of our plans, but to ensure that all of our lives, the big things and the little things, our fears and our hopes, our excitement, all of that. God's interested in it because he loves us as his children. So those words again, the Lord needs it. What is he needing from us today? Yes, he needs our praises. He needs us to proclaim what he's done for us. And yes, when Jesus was challenged by the Pharisees, stop your disciples from shouting out, he responded, well, even the stones will shout out. And it's great that we can continue to praise God wherever we are and whatever we're facing. But don't let's allow our fears and our anxieties to stop us from letting God in. He wants all of us. He wants all. Because we know that the scriptures tell us he's going to come back again. And he's going to have a new, we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. And we can continue to look for the future, knowing that God is with us. So what does the Lord need? He needs all of us. Not just the things we may choose to give him. And then thirdly, we read that as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Ian and I did make it to the top of the mountain, and we did go and stand at the side of a railing where we could look out over the city of Vienna. It was a beautiful day. It was a very hot day, but it was a beautiful day, and the sun was glinting off the metal from the church steeples and the government buildings. You could see the River Danube making its way through the streets. You could see the trains and the trams and the buses and the cars all busy going in their own direction. It was all there, laid out before us. But when Jesus stood and looked over Jerusalem, his response was to weep. This is the second time we know in the Gospels that we see him weeping. The first was, of course, as we looked earlier at, in the week, as Lazarus. He wept over Lazarus. Here he's weeping over the city. When Jesus entered Jerusalem to praise and adoration, the crowd didn't understand what really was going to happen. But they were full of hope, full of excitement, full of anticipation of what was to come. And yet Jesus, as he stood and saw the city, his heart was breaking. He knew that again and again and again, the people of God had chosen to reject the prophets, chosen to turn away from God, chosen to have God as the first and foremost in their lives, chosen and rejected the opportunities again and again that God had given them to come and worship him only. And as Jesus wept, we know as we read those last couple of verses from this passage, that Jesus was aware that in just a few decades' time, Jerusalem would be laid siege to. 600,000 Jews would be slaughtered by Emperor Titus. And as he approaches Jerusalem, his heart weeps for the fact that the people of God had turned away from God again and again and again. And even in the days ahead, he knew that they would do it again as they sent him to that cross to die. Is Jesus weeping over us today? Is he weeping over our plans and our hopes which have no place for him? Is he weeping because we're allowing those fears and anxieties to push him out? Because we've forgotten the promise that he gives us to give us his peace? Is he weeping because our choice, our lifestyles, the way that we live our day-to-day life, leave him maybe even on one side or out of our lives altogether? We just come when we choose. He's not got a living presence within us because we've chosen to keep him out. Is he weeping over us today? We're going to come to communion in just a moment. We're going to come and remember what the events are of Good Friday, where Jesus is on that cross and his body is broken and his blood is poured out. But before we come, as we sing our next song, I want to say to you this morning, don't let Jesus weep over you. Give Jesus the opportunity to deal with the small things and the big things in your life. Give him the opportunity by giving him our hearts and our lives and our all. Give him our fears and our hopes. Give him the opportunity in our next song to come in so that we can come to communion with a fresh heart, a clean heart, a heart that's ready once again to share in the bread and in the cup. Let's not do what the inhabitants of Jerusalem did all those years ago and reject Jesus this day. But let's welcome him in. Welcome him into our lives, declaring him as our King and our Saviour and our Redeemer. And we have the opportunity to make ourselves ready as we sing our next song this morning. You're the God of the city.